All right. Well, I'm Dove. Hello. Welcome. We have been going through a few different little series on New Life with Christ. So just to highlight that. And we've been looking at how we experience life. And we're going through the book of Colossians. And the first series that we looked at was on eternal life. And for each of these, we've been looking at the aspect of receiving and giving. And I like how Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And so we looked at eternal life and this aspect that we have freely received eternal life, and we can freely share it with others. And in doing that, we experience life. And then we looked at loving God and how freely we have received love from God. And freely we can love God. And in doing that, we experience life. And now we're in a little four parts on loving others. And freely we have been loved by others. Freely we can love. And in doing that, we experience life. And our hope is that all of us are truly experiencing life from God, because He is the source of life. And so last week, at the end, Steve was talking about praying for others. I wanted to look at praying for each other a little more as a way of experiencing love. And I don't know about your experience with prayer. Just in general, I feel like prayer has been a really important part of my life and where I'm at with God. And in my life, there's a pastor in Minnesota who prays for me every single day. And I have some other people that pray for me. And at times people even ask, hey, how can I pray for you? And I feel like that has been one of the most sustaining, powerful things as I've walked through my own challenges in life. And oftentimes we've had opportunities to pray together. Here in this room, I'm sure you can think of people who have prayed for you. And I know in our small group, we take time every week to just pray for each other, because prayer has this amazing effect in life. I remember in my life one time, we were pretty recent in El Paso. We were living in some apartments over here, El Pavone. And there was another guy, you guys, if you've been around a long time, you might remember Juan. And he was living with Roger and Renee Everhart. He was looking for a job. He couldn't find a job. And in the middle of the night, And I had this urge, I was up just to go pray with him. And so I walked over to their house and knocked on his window, because I didn't want to wake up the whole family. Knocked on his window, and he was like, what's up? I was like, hey, I just wanted to pray for you. And so he came out, and I think he appreciated that. It was just like, I wanted to pray for you. And then the next day, he got a job, and that was really cool. And I think it doesn't always work that way. It's not always like you pray for something and you get it the next day. But it's really cool to see God at work. And even, I think there's way more to prayer than just getting something that you want. We're going to kind of look at that today. And there's been a lot of prayers that I've prayed that I didn't get exactly what I wanted in the time or the way. I know another time we were pregnant with our second, and the baby was upside down the wrong way. And so we were going to go in, and they were going to relax Holly's uterus and do some kind of manual flipping, and it's not the best thing to do. And we had hoped the baby would flip on her own. I think Holly was doing headstands and stuff to try to help that process, but all my brothers were in town, and so I just asked if they would all pray for Holly, and they all just gathered around and prayed for her. And the next day we went in, and they did the ultrasound, and like, wow, baby flipped over. Awesome. And we were super excited. I was like, okay, tie her in there. Don't let her turn, you know, wrap it up, whatever you can do. But I often find if there's something that's big in life, the more people that are praying for it, the better. I don't know. Sometimes my prayers seem weak. I don't know if I just lack the faith, but to get a lot of people. And so the power of prayer. I'm sure we all have answers to prayer we can share because God hears prayer and moves. I was reading about someone who's studied prayer and written about it for over 10 years, and a couple of things they said really stuck out to me. These are kind of the conclusions they came to. They said that most Christians feel discouraged about their own prayers. And I can relate to that. Even as Steve and I were talking, it's like both of us would like to pray more, have a more vibrant prayer life. Most people I know would probably say that, like, man, I would like a more vibrant prayer life. I would like to pray more. And there can be kind of a discouragement. And my hope today is that that is not what I leave with you. Like, oh, man, I need to. There's like a discouragement with how much I'm praying. That is not my goal. And the kind of the question is, why? Why don't we pray more? Why don't we pray? What stops us from praying? And I just want to throw out the first thing. Sometimes we think it's because we're too busy. I just want to throw that out there that that is not true. That feels true, but it is not true that we are too busy. And there are people who have crazy busy lives who have learned how to carve out chunks of time for prayer. And I've also seen in my own life and others, when we get a huge chunk of time off, it's not like, whoa, it's just this huge amount of prayer. Like, if that was really the only hindrance, it'd be like vacation time would just be so rich in prayer. Man, I got a day off. I'm just going to pray. It's so easy to fill that time up. There's something different. And what he was saying, what keeps us from prayer is it's our views of ourselves and God. That's what really stops us from praying. The way we view ourselves and the way we view God. And I want to kind of look at that today and just kind of look at some of the views of God and ourselves. Hopefully just to encourage us in prayer. And so why don't we pray and dig into this? Thank you, God, that you hear us. I thank you that you're right here in this room, that you live inside of me, that you are always available, that you always want to hear from me, that you never, ever push me away, that you care about what is on my heart, that somehow the things that I pray move things in the spiritual world. Thank you, God, for being at work. God, I ask that you would teach us how to pray. Open our eyes. Bust through those things that might stop us. May we walk with you in that dance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's look at a couple of these kind of viewpoints that might stop us. I think one of them is that sometimes we make prayer too complicated. Like, oh man, if I had the right list or the right room or the right time or the right beads or the right, what do we need? Like, just pray. I don't have a big enough chunk. That's okay. You can pray. Well, I don't know what position. You know, like we make it all complicated. Is this the right prayer closet? Whatever. God is available. He likes to hear from his children. Sometimes we make prayer too obligatory. And that actually gets in the way. It's like, oh man, I need to pray and do my time. And I don't know about you, but it's not that fun to do your time. It's a lot more fun to be in love. It's a lot more fun to connect with people out of love and not out of, well, I had to do this, so I did it. And I was thinking about prayer. Imagine if you had got sent in the mail a $1,000 gift card to your favorite restaurant. And as soon as you use that up, another one comes in the mail. That'd be sweet. And you can switch it to whatever restaurant. If you have a new favorite, you can change, but maybe you tried out everything. And I come up to you and I say, how's it going? Have you been using that gift card? You're like, oh man, I forgot to use my gift card. Do you feel a sense of guilt? Ugh. You're right. I should be using that gift card. I'll try to do that today. Or be like, oh yeah, thanks for reminding me. I got a grand in my pocket to my favorite restaurant, and I haven't been going there. I've just been eating Whataburger the whole time. Like, man, I feel like that is what prayer is. It's like this $1,000 gift card in your pocket. And rather than a sense of obligation, there's a sense of, wow, I can pray if I want to. It's available. I think another viewpoint is that sometimes we feel unworthy, or we feel that God is far away. We feel this distance, either because we're somehow distanced or he's somehow distanced. And the reality is Jesus has promised that he will always be with us, and that we can always approach the throne of grace with confidence. Another viewpoint that might get in the way is sometimes we think it's all up to us, or that we don't need God. And we're Americans, we're independent and self-sufficient. And that's the way we like it. I like it that way. But the reality is, in this relationship with God, we're in a dependence. We're actually in need. We are not actually self-sufficient. I've tried to be. You may have tried to be. But the reality is we need God. And it's okay to be in that position. It's not all on our shoulders. Another attitude sometimes is that there can be this fatalistic viewpoint that, yeah, prayer doesn't really matter, because God already knows what he's going to do, and he's just going to do that. So it's like, you know, destiny, everything's already been lined out, and so prayer is just kind of pointless. And I appreciate this book. I don't know if you guys have heard of Brother Andrew. He wrote God Smuggler. He just saw some really amazing ways that God answered his prayers. And he was a missionary into communist countries, had a really profound effect until he wrote a book about it, and then wasn't allowed into them anymore. So then he began ministry to Muslim countries. And he wrote this book, and the title of the book is worth the book right there. And God changed his mind because his people dared to ask. I really appreciated the first chapters. And he's just talking about this fatalistic view we have. Like, oh, it's God's will. Let's just accept whatever it is. He's like, no, you have the greatest power in the world. You can go before the throne and ask him, and God will change his mind if we dare to ask him. I think another mindset that we can sometimes have is that I tried prayer, but it doesn't work. I've heard people say that. I've felt that, but I've never had the courage to say that out loud. But obviously, if you look at that, it's like, there's some really twisted stuff in what prayer is. Right there, there's kind of this view of like, prayer is like this mighty vending machine. If you put your coins in, you should get something back. And it's like, dumb machine, it's broken. I don't know if you ever put your money in a vending machine and got nothing. It's kind of a worthless. Makes you want to tip over the machine. And you get in trouble for that. Don't do that. But that's not what prayer is. Prayer is a fellowship with God. It is a relationship with the Almighty. It is not just putting in our coins and getting something. But there's a process of refining in me. There's a process of his will. It's way bigger than that. And when we come to grasp that, it empowers our prayers. So we're going to look at Colossians and see what Colossians has about prayer. I think there's some really amazing instructions and amazing examples of prayer. So we're just going to read through these verses first. Colossians 1, 3 through 4 says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. Colossians 1, 9 through 10 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and then it keeps going. We're going to look at this prayer a little more. It's really powerful. Colossians 2:1, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. So, as far as I can tell, he's talking about prayer. He's contending for those he's never met. Colossians 4:2-3, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And then in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So, there's probably lots more, but I want to look at four truths that come out of this. What does Colossians teach us about prayer? The first is that there is a battle in prayer. So you can see in Colossians 4:12, it says Epaphras is wrestling in prayer for you. And I don't know if anybody ever in here also did the sport of wrestling. But the interesting thing about wrestling is, like, it's really fun and exciting, and then it's also horrible. There's something exciting about that when it's like, wow, I get to wrestle in prayer, and there's something like, oh man, I don't know if I want to engage in that battle. Colossians 2:1, similar, Paul is saying, I'm contending for you. And so I want to let all of us know that if your prayer life is a battle, that's normal. Everyone's is. If it's hard for you to pray, welcome to prayer. If you get distracted, if you find all kinds of things warring inside of you, if you find the enemy making it really hard for you to even find the time to pray, that's because it's a battle. If your flesh rages against that and the world and all the things, welcome to prayer. Even people who have just beautiful prayer lives, their lives are full of distractions. When they pray, there's battles in them. You don't reach a point in your life where at some point you just sit in this amazing place of bliss and you're just in the presence of God and you speak the words and just spiritual things just happen all over. Prayer will always be a battle. And so that's kind of discouraging. I'm sorry to let you know that, but it's okay. Like, if that's your experience, good. You're in the right spot to keep going. Another thing that we can see is that thankfulness should well up in our prayers, which is awesome, especially if it's a battle. Colossians 1:3 and 4, we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Colossians 4:2 and 3, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 1:12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. And the cool thing about Thanksgiving, I think of it, if some of our other prayers are, think of it like a meal. It's like we got a lot of rice, and rice is good, and it's nourishing. You can live off it for a long time. But when you add some veggies and some meat and some sauce in there, there's like this a sweetness that comes with thankfulness that makes prayer not just work. Not just like, oh, I gotta eat this to live. It becomes refreshing. And just there's an encouragement there to just keep our prayer lives full of thankfulness and joy. Another thing we can see from Colossians, really awesome truth, is that prayer changes lives. It truly does. Prayer changes lives. So Colossians 1:9, he's saying we ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Why is he praying this for people he doesn't even know? Because he knows that something happens, that it will change their lives. And he's saying pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Why is he saying pray for us? Because he knows that prayer changes lives. Epaphras is wrestling in prayer, that you may stand firm in the will of God. Why is he wrestling that they would stand firm in the will of God? Because he knows that his prayers will change their lives, that they will, it will help them stand firm in the will of God. His prayers actually help them mature and become assured in their salvation, walk with the Lord. Awesome. The last truth that I want to highlight in Colossians is just keep praying. For this reason, since the day we heard of you, we have not stopped. We continually ask. Again, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. I've found in my life that, I don't know, maybe I go in times of more or less prayer, but just to keep moving forward is so good. Okay, I want to look a little bit at how should we pray for other people. How should we pray? So the first thing is just pray however you feel led by God. In my life, the prayers that I have seen answered the most have been the ones that I cried out, have been the ones that I really wanted, have been the ones that I beat down God's door. And I remember specifically a prayer just desperately crying out, like asking that God would show my dad, who I felt was being disrespected, that he was respected. And God answered that within an hour. And I was just in tears crying out for it. You can pray however you want, whatever's on your heart. Another thing, I think this is a cool opportunity to use Paul's prayers as a model to pray for others. It's been interesting as homeschooling. We've looked at different curriculum and how to teach things. And Benjamin Franklin and others, but he's kind of famous, has this way of learning how to write. Benjamin Franklin, most people, I mean, he had a really successful almanac. His writings made him rich. He left school at 10 years old. And he's like, I don't know how to write. So anyways, it was kind of effective for him. That's what I'm trying to say. And when I first heard about it, I'm like, this is dumb. But then as I learned about it more, it's like, okay, interesting. And so he's saying his basic premise is you learn how to write well by copying people who write well. And so the first step is you get good writing and you just copy it. Like, what? That's going to teach you how to write? Plagiarizing? The next step he would do is he would take some good writing and then he would just take notes about it, kind of an outline. And then he'd let it sit. And then the next day he would take his outline and try to rewrite it out. And then he would compare what he wrote to the original. And he said eventually, after years and years of this, he felt like his was actually better than the original. And so I think we can use Paul's example of prayer as a model for our own prayer life. How should I pray for somebody else? Well, what if I just copied Paul's prayer? And so I want to do this together. I want you guys to think of somebody, maybe God will put someone in your heart, that you would like to pray for. And we're just going to pray silently, but if you're at home, pray out loud. And I want you to pray for that person, and we're going to use Paul's prayer as a model. So do you guys think of somebody you want to pray for? Okay, so he says, we continually ask God, what does Paul pray for people? Okay, the first thing he prays is that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will. That's like this big idea. How is he going to do that? Through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Okay, so we're just going to take a moment. We're just going to imitate him. So I want you, between you and God, to pray for this person and ask that God would fill them with a knowledge of his will through the Spirit, through the understanding from the Spirit. Keep going on. These are going to be kind of short, but if in your own prayer time you could make them longer. So that, why? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Okay, we're going to pray that for the person that you're thinking of. All right, and then he's got four things that would please God. We're going to pray for these four things for that person. The first is that they would bear fruit in every good work. And next, that they would grow in the knowledge of God. Next, that they would be strengthened with all power according to the power of God. Why? So that they could have endurance and patience. Fourth, that they would give joyful thanks to the Father. And then he just rolls right into, why should we give joyful thanks to the Father? Because he has qualified this person to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Because he has rescued them from the dominion of darkness and brought them into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In his Son, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, did that feel like the prayer you like typically pray for somebody you love? Yeah, that kind of stretched me out of my normal box. And I think one of the things I wrote down a couple other places that Paul's prayers are written, and I'd encourage you to look at those and even pray those for other people. If you don't have anybody to pray for, you can always pray for me with those. That's I will never turn down prayer. One of the amazing things is you may have noticed that even in here, is you are invited to pray things that are bigger than just the immediate circumstances. Paul doesn't really just pray for circumstances. Hey, I pray for this condition and this problem. He prays for these bigger things. And certainly I'm sure he prayed for those as well. But we're invited to pray for some great things. That God would blow the lid off your head and you would see the greatness of God. It's like, okay, Paul, like, relax. Just, I had a headache. Just pray for, awesome. Okay, so Steve and I, for this 4 weeks, we wanted to ask you guys to join us in an action step. And so our action step for these 4 weeks is that we wanted to join together to pray for each other over the next 30 days. And so, and first, Steve threw out last Sunday that he would like to pray for you for the next 30 days. And I would encourage you to take him up on that. And so if you want to leave him a note or send him an email, he said he's going to pray for anybody who asks for the next 30 days. And so I think that's super cool. But we're going to try to have us all pray for each other. And so we just want to encourage, if you want to email somebody or text somebody and just ask them, hey, how could I pray for you? How could I be praying for you? And then oftentimes, if they tell you, then they'll ask you too. How about you? How could I pray for you? And if you only pray for them once in the next 30 days, awesome. You prayed for them once in the next 30 days. That's cool. After the 30 days, we'd encourage you if you want to just tell somebody, hey, I've been praying for you. What's going on? How's God been at work? I would love to just continue building this culture where we pray for each other, where we lift up requests and support to one another, because it really does matter, and God hears it. Prayer is the entrance into the stream of God's movement on earth. God is at work. This mighty river, this mighty work of God is happening, and by prayer we access into it. We enter into that. It is powerful and it matters. Our prayers affect eternity. All right, I'm just going to close this out in prayer, and we'll continue to worship God. So, God, I ask you to draw us in, to flood us with a desire to seek you, that through your light and your love, you would break down any lies about ourselves that keep us from praying. I ask that you would open up our hearts to see your power and to join with you in struggling for others. God, I ask that you would create a place where we know the power of prayer and walk in it. Thank you for inviting us into this journey. In Jesus' name.